Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast, is brought to you today in part by Audible, offering anytime, anywhere listening of your favorite audiobooks with the biggest selection ever, and it's all backed by Amazon. I just finished listening to Caleb and Kit by Beth Frabel, and I was really moved by this story of a boy who attends a camp over the summer and encounters in his walk through the woods a girl who quite captures his interest. Caleb, the protagonist, has cystic fibrosis, and the look into what this means and how it impacts Caleb's life and the life of his family was definitely undeniable in this story. There's even this particularly effective scene where Caleb tells the readers what the impact of cystic fibrosis means in terms of his use of the bathroom. We read the way Caleb struggles with how others perceive him and whether or not his friends are there for him. We also see a boy who is hurting and struggles to be understood, but finds hope from his pain in the form of Kit, this mysterious girl he finds sitting out on a rock in the middle of the woods by an old house. There were moments I was really rooting for Caleb, and others where I really felt like he was being a stubborn-headed jerk. And I think that balance is what made him feel so real to me, and unlike many other characters I've read before. This would be a great one to listen to as a family, as the story offers so many great points for discussion and connection to your own experiences. And Audible is offering a one-month free trial to listeners of this podcast. Visit the show notes for this episode at allthewonders.com to start your free trial and support this podcast with the same click of a mouse or tap of a screen. I hope you'll go try it out and see for yourself. Happy listening. Meet Melissa Ewy on a trip out to the garden to gather everything we'll need to make our pizza. Welcome to All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 399 of the podcast with Melissa Ewy. Melissa's newest book is called Pizza Day, and in it a father and son spend the day gathering materials from their garden to create a pizza together. There are so many sweet moments in this book, told alongside these wonderful just-so moments. The world Melissa has created for this story and the space she's left for us to see ourselves in it is just so enjoyable. And my son and I made so many personal connections with this book that I'm smiling right now just thinking of how much he's in this conversation. I hope you'll enjoy the chat. Here's episode number 399 of the podcast with Melissa Ewy. Welcome to the podcast, Melissa Ewy. I'm so glad that it's time for us to talk.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Matthew. I love your podcast.
Oh, you're sweet. I will take the compliment. I appreciate that. I love you and your family. I love that we got to have breakfast together way back when.
Yes.
Whenever ago.
Way
I can't even
back.
Remember.
Well, was that 2 years? 2 years ago?
It was a while ago. Back when I heard that Dennis was writing a book about video games and escape rooms and
yeah, that was a long time ago.
When I was putting a name to a face with you, I was like, oh, I know that person. Yeah. And back when I got to meet your cool son and be nerdy with him.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, he kind of, I wouldn't say monopolized the conversation, but he was right in there.
Let's be honest. He was talking to a teacher, to a librarian. I'm going to naturally talk to the child over the adult. That is going to happen. That's where I feel comfortable. That's what I'm going to do. But it was really great to meet your family.
Yeah, and that was fun.
To get to know your stuff a little bit more and to get to meet
and
Dennis.
And that diner was so cool.
Towson Diner. Classic. Spent many, many, many nights at the Towson Diner. Well, welcome to the show. And before I jump into your new book that's coming out or that is coming out when this episode comes out, Pizza Day, why don't I give you a chance, Melissa, to introduce yourself to the people listening?
Oh, well, my name is Melissa Ewy, and I'm the author and illustrator of Soup Day and now Pizza Day, which is the sequel to Soup Day. And I've illustrated many, many picture books, and that's where I started, basically.
And I feel like it's where you like to live, too.
It is.
I mean, the people that make picture books.
I love what I do.
You know, you can tell from looking at your books.
It is literally a dream come true because I wanted to do this since I was a kid, and it took me a really long time. I kind of have a circuitous route.
Wait, like literally this? You've wanted to make books since you were a child?
I really did.
Aww.
From the time I was like, when I started to read as a little kid, and I would make, I would actually make miniature. I have a collection still. They're so small, these little books that I would make as a kid, and I have a little collection that I keep in a cough lozenges container, you know, those they're like an Altoids.
It's that small. Wow.
Yeah. But then, you know, when I got older, I thought there's no way I can't make a living as an artist. I can't do this. I don't know.
Oh, that adult brain. That adult brain is always the enemy.
Yeah. So I went on a completely different path, and it took me a while to return.
What was your path?
My
what did
art,
you do
so it's like
this?
A second career.
What was the first career?
Well, I was actually in college. I was really into languages, and I was also studying East Asian studies. So I studied Japanese, and I went to Japan, and I taught English for a while, and then my degree was in linguistics, so I actually came back to go to graduate school in linguistics. And I was on this path to becoming an academic and, you know, doing this theoretical research. And my life was full of syllable structure and, you know, language change and I found myself, I still had this fantasy like of being an illustrator, and I would kind of sneak off and pore over picture books and books on the industry when I would go to the bookstore or the library, and it was kind of like a guilty pleasure.
I love that.
When I was supposed to be reading these academic papers, and
you would sneak off to the picture book section of a store or of a library. That's great.
And the thing that just finally pushed me over and took the leap was that I realized, oh my gosh, I just don't have the passion that it requires. I saw my peers, and they just lived and breathed linguistics, you know, day and night. Like, they loved it. And I knew I just didn't have that love. And what I really loved was doing my art. So, and then I saw how difficult it is to make a living in academia also. At the time when I was there was literally only one teaching position open in the entire nation. I mean, it's
wow.
just was crazy. Yeah. So
I was like going to make a joke about how hard it is to make a living at picture books, but it's not like one picture book published per nation. Goodness.
Yeah, so a lot of people, you know, do postdocs. And,
that makes sense. Yeah.
And also you have no choice where you end up living.
Oh, you know,
you have to go where the job is.
At the mercy
is.
So of the job, yeah.
Yeah, I was at that point, I just got to the point where, I might as well just, you know, take the leap and do what I love.
Of course.
It's still going to be scary, but so that's what I did. I dropped out and I had to start over from scratch because I hadn't been doing art for like over a decade, but I went to art school and I was lucky to be in an amazing program where they had illustration. And yeah, that's how what I did. And oh, I was so fortunate to have the most amazing instructor. There was only one class that was specifically for children's book illustration, mm-hmm. and it was taught by Marla Frazee.
No.
Yes.
What school did you go to?
Art Center. College of Design. It's in Pasadena.
Is that where she still works? I know that she still teaches classes.
Yeah.
Marla.
She lives there. She's so amazing. And this is so long ago. I'm going to date myself, but I'm dating her too. I think she had only just finished her third book. That Kukri, I think. And she just taught me everything I needed to know about making a book dummy and presenting my work to editors and putting together a portfolio. I think she connected me with SCBWI.
Oh my word, can you imagine like the way that everything lined up for this to happen? From linguistics to picture book making.
It's crazy. I was so lucky.
Yet to know at the point in your studies, this is the time to go. To know when you left, this is the school to attend. These are the classes to enroll in. And Marla was there, and she was the right person to be there to help you put your foot in the water into making picture books. That's amazing.
It was really serendipitous.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, you know, I even got connected with my agent, whom I'm still with today, Chris Tugo of Cat Tugo Agency, through Marla. When I moved to New York, I asked her and, you know, she gave me some names. And then that Chris is how I got my first book and that came out in 2000. So I've been working since then doing this.
Nearly two decades. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Oh my gosh.
For all
can
that.
You believe it?
Well, I count those times and I think that's about how long I've been in teaching. but as I think about that too, when I think about what it's meant for me to be in the classroom and what it's meant for you to be making books for that long, I think about just the how many readers your books have reached and their siblings. And in some cases, we're old. But in some cases, some of those readers have had children, and now they can be reading your books as well.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? It's wild.
That is. I forget how old I am. Like, I feel like I'm so young.
Oh, come on.
Inside,
once you turn past, like, 16 or 21, the numbers are just weird after that.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I am a child.
But this is why you do so well at creating picture books, because you can tap into those emotions, those feelings, that joy. I mean, Melissa, when I look at your books,
Thank
when I look
you.
At Pizza Day, I can see, I can hear your voice, both as an artist and as an author. But I can also see that there's this love. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that you've loved picture books since you were a child because of the way you make picture books.
Oh, thank you.
You just treat them like this is a home to nestle into for this time that we're reading this story.
That's what I try to do. That's what I love about picture books when I was a kid, just having this world, a different world, you know, to fall into. And so that's what I try to do. I try to create a world, you know, a place where I would want to be.
Yeah. Well, hey,
when I was a kid.
Walk us through this world for Pizza Day. For those people that maybe aren't familiar with Soup Day either, but with your new book, for those that'll be just encountering it here for the first time, can you share a little bit about what the book is about? What's the story about?
Sure. Well, in a nutshell, Pizza Day is about a boy and his dad and their day together making pizza from scratch and using ingredients that most of which they've grown in their garden. So as with Soup Day, I just wanted to celebrate the joy of spending time together, cooking together, and eating good food together.
Yeah. Immediately after reading this book, I thought about our library's pizza garden. They have a big garden area where people read outside, and it's wonderful, but they have a pizza garden. And so
really?
I was tapping into that. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
What is that like?
Okay. So in, we have, it's called the Enchanted Garden, which is affixed to our library. There's a stream that runs through it, and there's, we have Howard in Howard County, Maryland is where we live for people listening. I know, you know where I am, Melissa, but, we have, a county association called the Howard County Master Gardeners who, visit schools and, do outreach to children's programs, and they,
fantastic.
And so they have this enchanted garden, at our library branch, at the Miller branch, where they have, box gardens of all different variety that you can actually just go in and, take the vegetables and fruits from their gardens as they grow, and they talk about them. They have classes out there. They have composting that they talk to kids about what that is in a small stream.
Oh,
they have,
I bumped it. Sorry.
That's okay. Bumped your video. That's okay. But I was saying they also have like places to read outside, and they have
that sounds amazing.
They have the pizza garden itself is okay. So picture a pie. There you go. Picture not instead of a box garden. Picture something round divided into like pie slices, and in each slice they have something growing. Oregano. There's a tomato plant. Those different things, and they're all marked.
Oh my god, they're actually ingredients that you would put on a pizza?
It is a pizza garden, I'm telling you. It
oh
is
my
like
god,
a
that's like
it is like a
like
you can recreate
garden.
This. Yes, it is
that's
a you
my
can
garden.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Wow, that's
amazing.
Is so cool.
I read your book and I had like so when I read it, there are a number of things that line up with me and my life and my son in this book.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
So we go to this garden all the time. So when the child in this book is going to this garden, like he knew right away, pizza garden. Here are the thing. What are the things in the pizza garden that we watch grow every single year?
Oh my god!
So
cool.
As you're naming off the different things that the boy goes and collects, these are things that we know. And the other thing that was like working on another level, if I can just point this out, is that there's a dog in this book, Caesar. There's a dog in this book, and I am 99% sure I know what kind of dog. You
oh, really?
Because we had these dogs and we had to get rid of them when Jonah was born because of his allergies.
Oh.
But Jonah to this day talks about the one dog in particular because of photographs of he and the dog. And he has memories of our boy Avi, who was a Bernese Mountain Dog.
Exactly.
Yeah, a burner.
He's a puppy. Oh, my God.
We had a burner named Avi, and we rescued a burner named Bella.
Oh.
Her real name, her full name, to be fair, was Bellatrix Lestrange, and she destroyed everything. But Avi, we have pictures of Jonah with Avi when Jonah was 8 months old, and we rehomed Avi. And Jonah got to see Avi again on Avi's 6th birthday. These burners, as you know from these dogs, if you know these dogs, they get huge. And he was a big, beautiful dog, but they're also prone to hip dysplasia and cancer. And so they don't live very long. And so the new owner that we had stayed in contact with around that, when he turned 6 years, said, do you want to come over? I'm going to do a little birthday party for him. We'll have a little like doggy safe cake. and he's starting to get sick, and I don't, to maintain his quality of life, she didn't want to keep him like medicated for however long.
Yeah.
And so Jonah's memory when he was 3 years old then of Avi was of the last time we saw him. And he still goes back all the time to that conversation. So you better believe, Melissa, when we read this book,
this
in very literal terms was a book that he felt like ownership in, because of knowing this garden and knowing that dog. There are qualities here that were really striking a chord. So this was a really special thing for me to have with him, for us, for our family to have.
Oh my gosh, that really touches my heart. I can't believe that. That's amazing.
Can I ask you then a very self-indulgent question? Can I ask you why a burner? Why did you illustrate a burner into this book?
I don't know. I didn't even know about those dogs. I was just looking. I knew I wanted, actually, I'm sorry, I'm not speaking in complete sentences, but at first I thought that I would have a sheepdog. Okay. I knew I wanted a big fluffy dog.
Oh, yeah.
And, but they're usually white or maybe white and black. And I just felt like I wanted something more striking. And so I was just looking at pictures of different kinds of big, you know, fluffy, floppy, really friendly dogs that would be good for kids. And I somehow happened upon that breed, and I just love the way they look. They just look so friendly and
they're
and
the
sweet.
Best. You know, we got let's be very personal for a moment. Do you remember when there was that stimulus check, the tax stimulus thing? We bought Avi with our stimulus checks.
Oh.
And the way you illustrate the dog, the way you illustrate Caesar in this book with those giant paws and that beautiful tricolor and the rust eyebrows, it was you got it exactly right.
Oh.
I mean, it was like looking through a photo album for me. It was a really, really special thing.
Wow.
And for me, like, we can go really personal here. And it felt as though you were showing me the relationship that I know that my kid would have had with this dog.
Oh, so, Matthew.
Well, I mean,
so sweet.
There are these things, right? We encounter these books, and you just don't know what's waiting for you on the inside or how it may connect with your own life. And this one was just sort of profound. You and I had set up an interview forever ago, knowing you've got a book coming out.
Crazy.
Let's talk. And I had no idea when I opened it. I knew from title and cover alone, but I had no idea.
I don't think when we met, I hadn't even started doing the finals.
Wow. When we met, you shared the hardware store book with me.
I
remember
just
that one.
Finished the hardware store book by Anne Rockwell.
Yep.
Which was really fun. And yeah, I don't think I hadn't started Pizza Day.
Oh, so cool. Oh my word. I feel
and, you
so
know,
intertwined with your process here. That's so cool.
I actually I presented this story many years ago. In fact, I wrote it soon after Soup Day. And my editor really wanted it, but it just wasn't the right time.
Okay.
And so there's all this intervening time in between, but I actually revisited it several years ago, and I redid the entire dummy. And I think that's when the dog changed. So it was a completely different, everything changed though. I mean, I had a different painting style, a totally different work process then. And so I decided, you know what? It was actually after Hardware Store, I decided I'm going to revisit this dummy and redo it the way I would do it if I was doing it now. And that's what sold. And so in the end, I was really glad that, you know, I had to wait that long, because it came out so much better than it would have come out when I had originally written it. So That's so funny, though. The dog was completely different.
Well, so I love this story in the way that it's, you know, a day spent with dad, a day spent together. Mom goes off to work in the very beginning of the book, right when you announced today's pizza day, where dad's saying goodbye to mom, and dad and son are going to spend the day together.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that not only is this sort of a how to make pizza, like all of the different processes, when we have hands on, do you know that much like tending a garden, we can make food this way with our hands. We can knead the dough. We can separate, we can, you know, collect the spices and the vegetables, and we can assemble this all together. But to know over the course of the book, the time that it takes, you know, by the time the pizza's ready, mom's home.
Mm-hmm.
We've spent the day together doing this task and having that time and that story of the day together, that story of the experience together. I really like how you framed it to show.
Thanks.
Just to show, I mean, you've taken your time with it. And I think
well,
that,
you have to let
us.
let the dough rise.
Yeah. I'm going to turn to the page. I like the way that it's, Daddy says we have to let the dough rest for an hour so it can rise. We let it take a little nap while we start the tomato sauce. Sweet dreams, pizza dough, I whisper. Yeah.
We always anthropomorphize everything in our daily
life. I was just going to say.
Our house. Anyway.
All of the food is alive. We have to take care of it. That's how it...
Everything has a spirit.
So have you made, I mean, I can tell from the dedication that you've made more than your fair share of pizzas at the house, but have you,
oh my gosh,
have you done from scratch like this?
Oh yeah. This is an original recipe.
This is it.
That I developed. Oh,
and I'm coming over.
I'm telling you.
I'm coming over for pizza season.
Oh, you have to. If you are ever in New York, you have to come over. I'll make it for you. But was a little more complicated than the soup because of the dough. And I tell you, I made this pizza over and over and over again to get it right, you know, with the right ratios. I did a lot of research and looked at other dough recipes, other sauce recipes, but I created this all on my own. So there was a lot of testing involved and a lot of failures.
Oh, but failed pizzas
I had,
that you had to eat.
I had good testers.
Did you?
You know, they'll even eat pizza if it's not so great. Because pizza tastes good anyway. But, you know, they ate a lot of pizza. So
garden pizza. How about it? Melissa, how did you make the art for this book? I know that you tend to work in watercolor primarily, right?
I do.
Is that the same for this book?
Yes, but I guess it started with Hardware Store. That book was the first time I kind of changed my work style to this. So what I do is I create pieces of art traditionally, and I use watercolor, but I also use India ink and pencil and charcoal, and I also use the watercolor in different ways. So for example, if you look on the pages where there's the garden or the outdoor scene, in the background I've painted the trees, and that's just a regular watercolor painting that I've scanned in. And the other parts are actually made up of watercolor swatches, so they're just plain colors. And I put those in the shapes that I paint with the ink, which are just black. So it's kind of like similar to Soup Day, in that Soup Day are paper collages. The artwork is paper collage, and this is... Yeah. A combination of different materials, and it's kind of like a digital collage.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I slip the watercolor swatches that I've painted into the shapes and then put the shapes together.
I like that you're in that way blurring the line of what was created by hand and what was sort of manipulated or composed digitally.
Arranged.
There's the word. Yeah.
And I just loved doing it this way because there's so much more freedom.
Yeah.
Actually, than just doing a traditional paper collage, which is also how I did Truck Stop, another book. The one with the diner.
Yeah.
Diner that we went to.
Oh, yeah, the diner. That's right.
That's so crazy. That was so weird. Another weird thing. But so those were paper collages that are handmade. And this, with Pizza Day, this method is so much nicer and freeing because I can move things around. I can change things easily. You know, I don't have to plan everything so much at the beginning. I can kind of play around with it and move things around and swap things out. So
does the time it takes to create each composition still sort of end up the same, or
it does?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
it sounds like you've got a couple more moving parts when you work in this way with traditional and then into digital, but you've got also that versatility of being able to manipulate and make it to make those tweaks to make it just the way you'd like it.
So, and I try to make it so that I want to keep everything editable.
Yeah.
And so I end up with these files that are like 300 layers because like everything is on its own layer in Photoshop, if you know Photoshop.
Oh, but that makes sense what you're talking about, being able to edit all the different
Right, so every then. Little piece, like even the shadow, like the shadow on the boy's arm, like his freckles.
Goodness gracious.
You know, the freckles are on a layer. The nose, you know, everything is on a separate layer, so it gets kind of crazy. But I've developed a way to keep everything organized with folders, and I keep a master file like that. I send it to my publisher, I flatten things.
Have you ever?
It's not so crazy.
That makes sense, because otherwise, I mean, that's amazing.
They don't need to deal with 300 layers.
They don't need that, yeah. Well, if you check layer 176, you'll notice the... No. Have you ever, again, just speaking from experience that I've had illustrators at school visits and things like that, have you ever had the opportunity to show children what it looks like to do the work that you do? I don't know if you've ever considered like making a video you could share online, or if you've shown them in a presentation. Mm-hmm. But that notion of creating these pieces and layering them and manipulating them is really interesting. And I think it's not something that a child gets experience with, because we in school art programs don't have the resources or the time to be able to recreate that.
Well, I've never done an actual demo of assembling everything in the computer, but I have done presentations where I break it down and I show them examples of, you know, all my different parts.
Yeah.
You know, the watercolor swatches and the shapes, and I explain using these props that I have created. I explain how I make them, and I think they understand. But I think it would be more exciting to see it happening in real time. So
I don't know. I think
that's something to think about, maybe.
No, but the idea of knowing that you're composing this on software that the kids have never had any experience with, doing anything remotely like that, I think that there's a layer there that they might not be able to fully grasp and appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But to have the physical items being manipulated like that, that you can show them and talk about that, is a neat thing, even just to be exposing them to the idea of like, hey, this is what it looks like, you know, when artists work this way.
Right.
That's cool, though. Yeah,
I try to show them, like, intermediate pieces. This is what it looks like, you know,
exactly.
Before I do that.
Yeah, I have to confess. I mean, Melissa, I bring it up, too, because I don't know how it's done. And I've always been the person that, like, many of us were, but I was the kid that loved whenever Mr. Rogers would take a trip to a factory just to see like
how stuff made. I love those too.
Because you take for granted that like, no, that thing is sitting on a shelf. To know that it goes through a process and that there have to be these steps.
Yeah, I love those behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So not that I could fully grasp what you do, but I can hear already that you're breaking it down into like a highlights reel of things that I could understand without physically spending the hours and hours that you do to make the compositions. I like it. It's good stuff.
I always start with just hand drawing, though. That's definitely won't change, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's something that everyone can do. Everyone grabs a utensil and can draw something.
Right, yeah.
So what a great way to make that connection. As I was going through this book, I was excited to ask just because I always get excited when we do school visits and you never know how people are going to welcome you, right? I always love the welcoming of an author or illustrator to our school, because if we have spent that time with their book or books, if we have come up with projects and crafts to immerse children in your work, in your art, and then welcome you that way and being surrounded by these, the we can call them the responses to your books through art that the kids have made. When you get a book like Pizza Day, one can only imagine what kind of things you'll encounter when you're connecting with children. So
I can't wait.
That's just great.
I'm in the process of building a giant pizza out of felt.
No.
I'll have to take a picture and show it to you.
Oh, please
I'm really
do.
Happy with it, but the crust is made out of foam core, and I covered it with crust colored felt, and then I'm gonna have all the different parts, and they have Velcro.
Oh.
So I just made the sauce and the cheese. The cheese is made out of yarn with Velcro, and then I'm gonna do the toppings and.
That's so great. Yeah. Bring back the
take
felt board story time. That's right.
Have them help me make the pizza.
Pass
out the parts.
What's your favorite pizza toppings? Is garden pizza like your ultimate pizza?
Have you I do. I love veggie pizza.
There it is.
Yes. That's my go-to.
So you'll get to nerd out with all of your readers about like favorite veggies to top that pizza. Make
right.
it happen.
Yeah.
Well, I love that you've given us this book that not only encourages time spent with an adult making something with your hands, but also the time that it takes to see the result and getting to enjoy that result. So I loved Soup Day. I'm glad we have Pizza Day. I hope there are more opportunities like this in the future for you to share stories with us of time
Thank
spent
you.
With the people that we love.
I hope so.
Yay.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here, Melissa. I really loved our time together.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm totally going to eat pizza with you. It's going
to
happen.
Oh, yeah. that has to happen.
Before we go, I want to give you a chance to leave a message for your readers and pizza eaters out there. Melissa, I'll see a library full of children tomorrow morning. Is there a message I can bring to them from you?
Sure. I'd love to encourage kids to keep trying out new things and just keep an open mind. Don't be discouraged if you don't like it the first time. It's kind of like with new foods. You might think you don't like something, and maybe you don't even like it the first time you try it. But then you might try it again later and you discover, hey, you know what? This isn't so bad. I kind of like this. It's pretty good. You never know. Or maybe you don't really like it after all and you think, you know what? I don't like this. And that's okay too. But the important thing is if you gave it a chance.
This podcast is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. You can subscribe to the podcast and access the archive of over 350 episodes at All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton, a semi-weekly podcast about picture books and the people who make them, and Books Between, a podcast hosted by Karina Allen, helping to connect kids ages 8 to 12 and their parents, teachers, and librarians with the books they'll love. Our theme music is by Emily Arrow. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect any ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if this episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook, Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that's a very good thing indeed. Coming up on the podcast, Tilly Walden shares Spinning, her graphic novel memoir, and we celebrate 400 episodes. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.